For decades under communism, Russia recruited third world students to St. Petersburg to indoctrinate them in Soviet universities. Today, the students still come, but they no longer learn communism. They learn business, medicine, science, and law. Karis Bible College graduate Carrie Pickett has been there for 10 years, preparing these same professionals to return home with the almost too good to be true news of the gospel. For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Karis Bible College today.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started last week talking about redemption. I know that that's kind of a religious, theological term to some people, but simply put, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, also Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption is just simply talking about the forgiveness of our sins. And last week, I spent an entire week talking about this, talking about how that really understanding the forgiveness of your sins is the key that opens up everything in our salvation. The only real leverage that Satan ever had against the human race was the fact that through sin we yielded ourselves to him. But Jesus redeemed us. He bought us back. He stopped that curse. And he has totally broken the sin barrier. And no longer are we separated from God and bound to the devil through our sin. Boy, those are radical statements. And even a lot of people who have come to the Lord and made Jesus their Lord and have asked for forgiveness and believe that they're born again, and I believe that they are, and if something was to happen, they would die and go immediately into the presence of the Lord. Even many people who've accepted that initial born-again experience do not really understand the degree or the extent of our redemption, our forgiveness of sins. And because of this, they come under condemnation. They allow Satan to separate them from the benefits of their salvation because they feel unworthy. It's not that they doubt that God has the ability, but they doubt God's willingness to use His ability on their behalf because they know that they haven't measured up. And so this is what we're talking about in trying to portray to what extent we have been forgiven. Let me just go back and read a verse that we were really majoring on last week, Ephesians 1:7. It says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Now, this exact same statement is made in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, with just one word different. It says there, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And so it's just amplifying that redemption is talking about the forgiveness of our sins. Notice that it is something we already have. It's not something that is yet to take place. It's already a done deal. And then it says it's according to the riches of His grace. And these are the things that we majored on last week. Let me go on and read in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 14. We covered most of these verses last week, but in verse 14 it says, "Which is the earnest," talking about we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the last phrase in verse 13. In verse 14, "which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." Now in verse 7, it says that we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Here in verse 14, it's saying that we have an earnest, which means a down payment or a guarantee of something that is yet to take place. And that's talking about the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. So this looks a little contradictory. Verse 7 says we already have redemption. The forgiveness of sins is a done deal. Here in verse 14, Ephesians 1:14, it says that we have a down payment until the redemption of the purchased possession. So it looks like it's done, and then it looks like it isn't done. What is this talking about? Well, in a nutshell, it's just basically that we are, you could divide who we are into a number of different things. But the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that we are spirit, soul, and body. He prayed a prayer that our whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the day of the Lord Jesus. And so we are a spirit, soul, and body, three-part being. Our spirit being is already redeemed. All of our sins have been forgiven. And I talked about quite a bit of this last week. I'm going to amplify on that this week. But the body redemption has not taken place yet. There has been a price paid for us, even in our physical body. And there are a number of scriptures. I won't take time today to go and show you these scriptures, but there are many scriptures that talk about a physical resurrection of our bodies, that we are going to have glorified bodies, that this corruptible must put on incorruptible, 1 Corinthians 15, this mortal must put on immortality. There is going to be a transformation that takes place in the physical realm. Now, that hasn't happened yet, and we are still waiting for the redemption of that purchased possession. God has purchased us spirit, soul, and body, but our bodies haven't been redeemed yet. Our soul, which is our personality, mental, emotional part, has not been redeemed yet. The body and the soul are in the process of being renewed, and if you will believe God, you can experience physical healing, you can experience deliverance from depression, you can have your mind renewed, you can experience that redemption to a degree, but it's not going to be complete in your body and in your soul until either the Lord comes back and catches us up, or until the second coming of the Lord, when we are resurrected with Him and we'll receive a glorified body. So we're three parts, spirit, soul, and body. The body and the soul have not been redeemed. They've been purchased but not redeemed. But your spirit has been completely redeemed. And that's what Colossians 1:14 and Ephesians 1:7 is talking about, that we already have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. One-third of your redemption is over. Now, this is very important that you understand this. Now, this is a major point, and I'm going to be focusing on this all week long. Most Christians honestly don't believe that there is any redemption yet. Now, they will use that word as a theological term, not knowing what it means, but I mean in a practical sense. Most Christians believe that their salvation, really the redemption process where something is completed and done and it's already been redeemed, only takes place in heaven. I used this analogy last week. I'm not going to go to a big deal, but I talked about how that when I was a kid, they had S&H green stamps that they gave, and you would purchase food and they would give you these green stamps. You would put them in a book, and then you would go to a redemption center. The stamps weren't what you really wanted. They were just proof that a purchase had been made. They were an earnest or a guarantee, but then you took them and redeemed them so that you could purchase products with these stamps, etc. And this is similar, the fact that Jesus has already paid for us spirit, soul, and body. In the spirit realm, He's already cashed that in. Our spirit is already transformed. It is completely changed. It's not in the process of being saved. It doesn't get contaminated every time we sin and then have to get back into fellowship with God. In the spirit realm, redemption is a done deal. It's over. It's complete. But then according to Ephesians 1:14 and other places, we are still waiting for the redemption of our physical body. That hasn't taken place yet. And we have been purchased, the blood has been shed for it, it's a guaranteed thing, and we have the earnest of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee or a proof that God has purchased us, spirit, soul, and body. But the physical body resurrection is something that's going to take place in the future at the second coming of the Lord, and our soulish redemption is in process, but it's not a completed deal. But in the spirit realm, we are already changed. We are already a totally brand new person. And so this is what I want to focus on this week. I want to talk about to what degree your spirit has been changed, to what degree your spirit is forgiven. And there is a lot of misconception on this. There's a lot of people that believe that we are only forgiven of sins momentarily until the next time we sin. And then every time we sin, we have to go back to the Lord and confess this sin and deal with it and get it back under the blood. Now, there is a right thing for confessing, acknowledging sin and turning from it. But I'm saying if you are doing it for the purpose of either maintaining your salvation or to earn God's blessing and favor in your life, then I don't believe that you have fully understood redemption. I don't believe that you have a complete picture of how redeemed you've been in your spirit. And I tell you, in my life, this is one of the things that just transformed me. When I understood that God dealt with all of my sin, past, present, and even my future sins, the ones I haven't even committed yet, have already been paid for. I am redeemed from them. It's over, and it does not affect my personal relationship with God. Now, listen to what I'm saying. I did not say that there aren't consequences for my sin. Because Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." If I yield myself to sin, then I am yielding, obeying, and coming under the dominion of Satan, the author of that sin. In John chapter 10, verse 10, says that the thief comes for no purpose except to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's the devil. That's talking about the devil. Satan is out to destroy your life. And if you yield to him through sin, he's going to bring sickness on you, poverty upon you. He's going to get you in trouble with the law. He'll destroy relationships. There are consequences to sin. But God is a spirit. John 4:24 says that. And those who worship God, those who really are in relationship with God, have to do it through the Spirit. Now, if you've been born again, your spirit is completely changed. And in the Spirit, you've been forgiven of all sin. Past, present, and even future sins are forgiven. And since God is a spirit and looks at you in the Spirit, and if you're going to relate to Him, you've got to do it in spirit and in truth. That means that God doesn't deal with you based on your actions, based on your sins or lack of sins. Man, those are awesome things that I'm saying. And I know that some people think this is heresy because it's so contrary to what we've been taught. But that's what I want to do this week, is to show you scriptures that say these exact same things. And if you don't agree with this, then I believe here's the damage of it, is that if you believe that every time you sin, you lose redemption, that you lose your right standing with God, that once again, God is holding sin against you and imputing it unto you until you get it forgiven and under the blood. If that's what you believe, then you are never going to really have any boldness in your relationship with God, because we constantly fail. We are continually falling short, and our own heart condemns us. And so we have no confidence. We feel like our redemption is only momentary instead of eternal. We're in and out. And after a while, years of trying to overcome these things, and you still find yourself getting mad, you still find yourself not studying the Word, not praying, not loving people the way that you should, not reading the Word the way you should, and on it goes. After years of failure, you develop this condemnation, sin-conscious mentality, to where you believe that God can do anything. You just don't believe He will do it because you know you don't deserve it. Now, what I've said right there is descriptive of the average Christian. And I'm telling you, it's because you don't understand redemption. You don't understand that in the spirit realm, you are already eternally redeemed. It's not momentary redemption till the next time you sin, but all of your sins, past, present, and even the ones you haven't committed yet, have already been paid for. You are redeemed from sin. Let me share scriptures with you on this out of Hebrews chapter 9. And let me just start reading with verse 11. This is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. I wished I had more time to put this in its context. If you have the time and the motivation, I encourage you to go to the book of Hebrews and study this, because it is a powerful book. Transferring us or teaching us the difference between the way it was done in the Old Covenant and into the new covenant. It's helping us. Here's the word I was looking for. It's helping us make this transition from an old covenant way of approaching God to a new covenant way of approaching God. And that's what the entire book has been about. It's powerful. And here in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, it says, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands," that is to say, not of this building. This word tabernacle here is just talking about instead of the old covenant tabernacle building, that Jesus now, He came and He deals with the true tabernacle, which is our body. He came in a physical form and offered His body, went into the true temple of God in heaven. That's the background of all of these things. So in verse 12, it says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Now again, if I had time to put all of this in its context, there are either four or five times here in Hebrews chapter 9 that it uses this point of saying that Jesus offered Himself once for the sins of the whole world. And if you were to put it into its context in Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 8, it's making the contrast that the Old Testament priests were offering sacrifices constantly. Every time a person committed sin, there had to be a new sacrifice made. And the reason it was done was because the Old Testament sacrifices were only types and shadows of the New Testament sacrifice that Jesus was going to make. Since they weren't the real deal, they couldn't really deal with the sin issue. All they did was symbolically remind the people that there is coming a Savior who's going to make this price. So since they were only types and shadows, you had to keep doing this over and over and over. But here in Hebrews chapter 9, there are at least four or five times that it makes this point that Jesus entered in once. One time He offered one sacrifice for all sins, for all people, for all time. He dealt with the sin issue. It's over. And He's contrasting that with the Old Testament where it had to be offered over and over and over. And He's helping us transition from this old covenant mentality to the new covenant reality of what Jesus has done. And the sad thing is that most New Testament Christians haven't received this benefit. We still are approaching God with this sin consciousness, thinking, "Well, I know I was forgiven when I got born again of all my past sins, but I've sinned since then. I sin today. I know I'm going to sin tomorrow. I'm going to fail in some area." And we feel like that we aren't truly redeemed in this area. But I'm trying to get across that in your spirit, you are completely redeemed, not only from the past sins, the sins that are still dominant in your life now, and even sins that you haven't committed yet, they have already been forgiven. The Lord has totally redeemed us from sin. Sin is not the issue with God. Now, that's a strong statement, and I guarantee you, I'm sure that a lot of people who've been under a lot of religious teaching just choked on that all around the world, because the body of Christ, religion, is teaching primarily that sin is the issue. It all revolves around sin. That the reason God won't answer your prayers, the reason you are having problems in your life, all of these things, it all revolves around sin. For me to say that sin is not the issue is just diametrically opposed to everything that's being preached today, but it is what the Word of God says. Again, let's go back and look at this verse in verse 12. It says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Remember in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Redemption is the forgiveness of sins according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. And this says that we have eternal redemption. Or you could say, to be consistent with Scripture, we have eternal forgiveness of sins. Not just forgiveness of sins in the past until we commit a new sin, and then we got to go get forgiven of sins again. You know, if words mean anything, which they do, and if you are listening to what I say, and if you really believe the Bible, how could we not get this truth? that we have eternal redemption, eternal forgiveness of sins, not just momentary redemption or forgiveness of sins until the next time we sin. This is radical. Radical. This is just totally different than what most people believe. But you know, the sad thing is, and I'm sorry to say this, but this is what I've found in dealing with most people, that most people don't let the Word of God affect what they believe very much. They have doctrines and beliefs because this is the tradition, this is the way it's always been taught, this is the way Aunt Susie, Grandma so-and-so did it. And with very few people, the Word of God just doesn't get in their way of their theology very much. It ought to be just the opposite. The Word of God should be the foundation. And I'm reading Scripture to you. Now listen to this. It says that neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once, not many different times, once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, eternal forgiveness of sins, according to Ephesians 1:7. Radical concept. And you know what? If you understood this, it would totally, totally change your relationship with God. Instead of just feeling like you are accepted by God as long as you've got every sin confessed, and it's only temporary until the next time you mess up, and then when you sin, once again, you're out of favor with God. Now, there's two different opinions on this. If you go to the strictest, most legalistic, Pentecostal type of interpretation, the Pentecostal, the extreme Pentecostals will believe that every time you commit a sin after you've been born again, that you are out of salvation, you are backslidden, and if you were to die with that sin before it got confessed and back under the blood, you would die and go to hell. Even if you had served God for 40 years, if you committed a sin and didn't get it confessed and died in a car wreck, even though you'd served God and loved God and walked with God for 40 years, you'd go to hell because you got an unconfessed sin in your life. Boy, that's bondage. And if I really believe that, then the moment you got born again, I'd just kill you, because that's the only way you'd ever make it to heaven. I might go to hell, but that's the only way you'd ever get to heaven if it was all dependent upon you keeping every sin confessed. Then a lesser interpretation, but basically the same mindset, you will find a lot of evangelicals, fundamentalists, that will say, well, you don't lose your salvation. They believe once saved, always saved, but you'll lose all of your privileges. God won't fellowship with you. God won't answer your prayer. You can't have any joy and peace, and God won't use you if you have any sin in your life. That's just a lesser consequence, but it's the same principle that, once again, it's all dependent upon you keeping every sin totally confessed and under the blood and living holy, and it puts you back into a works mentality. It puts you back into a legalistic mentality, exactly the way the Old Testament law is, and it is not understanding and taking advantage of the benefits of the New Testament salvation. I'm telling you, according to this verse, and I've got a lot more to share on this, we're going to be talking about this all week long. According to this verse in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, Jesus entered in one time and paid for your sins, so that you can have eternal redemption, not momentary redemption. That means redemption, forgiveness of sins, that isn't just temporary until the next time you sin and then dependent upon whether or not you repented and confessed it properly. No, when you came to the Lord, you were forgiven of all sins, past, present, and even the sins you hadn't committed yet are all forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is nearly too good to be true. I'm going to continue on this all week long, so I encourage you to listen. And also, I've got a tape set that I taught this in Ontario, California, in one of our Gospel Truth seminars, and I tell you, it's powerful. You need this teaching. It would really bless you. So if you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you information about how to get these materials, and then join me again tomorrow for the Gospel Truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Redemption was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1056C for the CD or T3201D for the DVD. Or you can get the DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. Request item T1056D when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The second teaching in the Redemption series, titled Eternal, Not Momentary Redemption, is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this second CD free of charge when you write or call. Request item TK137C. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, many of you are being blessed and you're getting this truth about how important the Word is, and you don't even know how to get started. You don't know where to read. You don't know what to do. You know, that's the reason we put out our materials. They can help you. But really, the best thing I have to help you get into the Word of God is our Charis Bible College. And we not only have this campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have about 15 different Bible colleges scattered around the world. We also have an online Bible school that we just started this month. And you can now go online and in a class setting where you are interacting with other students, you can go through our online Charis Bible College. There's a lot of ways for you to take advantage of it, but I encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen and pursue participating in our Charis Bible College.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar April 15th through the 17th and at the Solid Rock of Atlanta April 18th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar May 13th through the 15th and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 28th through the 31st. For those of you looking forward to our annual Summer Family Bible Conference, remember to mark your calendars and join us in Colorado Springs, June 28th through July 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.